Chapter 30. Little White Lies. Apartheid was built on a racial hierarchy. Where a person ranked determined where they could live, work, or go to school, which bench they could sit on, and whom they could sleep with. See Chapter 3. In the Kafkaesque world of racial categorization, people were classified, reclassified, and re-reclassified. Using a pencil, a bureaucrat from the race classification board could magically change a person's race, white to colored, colored to Asian, and Asian to Bantu, as the groups were defined. The laws tore families apart and turned law-abiding people into criminals and neighbors into enemies. If you were racially demoted, you lost all your privileges. The most famous example was Sandra Lang, a daughter of three generations of white ancestors, who was expelled from school when she was 10 because of her dark skin and frizzy hair. When someone's race was questioned, the race classification board summoned them for an interview and a physical examination. The board looked for kinky hair, a pencil was pushed through the hair, and the ease with which it came out determined a pass or a fail. Wide nostrils, thick lips, and even noted the color of people's palms. It then met to assign a race, and people's lives were determined by that decision. When the country emerged from its apartheid nightmare in 1990, the racial pendulum swung for a lot of white people, from being obsessed with race to believing race no longer mattered. I embraced racial colorblindness. The only race I see, I would say proudly, is the human race. I'd watched The Cosby Show and hardly noticed that the Huxtables were black, or that Dr. Heathcliff was a sexual predator, but that's another lie for another day. I thought if race didn't exist, then racism wouldn't exist. I was part of a generation of white South Africans who came of age saying, I don't see color. I treat everyone the same. However, as American author Heather McGee notes, instead of being blind to race, colorblindness makes people blind to racism. The logical jump from racial colorblindness is the view that because race doesn't matter, people can succeed if they just work hard enough. But race does matter. Our history was built on racial oppression and racial privileges that didn't just vanish in 1994. Being colorblind doesn't acknowledge that the deck is stacked in favor of white people in subtle yet substantial ways. However well-intentioned, not seeing race is a white lie that denies the historical impact of racism and avoids the reality of structural inequality and the generations of power dynamics. It's a similar lie to the one told by any white person who insists they didn't benefit from apartheid. Colorbind. In 1979, the Washington Post published a story about Mr. X, a 22-year-old Afrikaner in Cape Town whose race classification was changed. Mr. X had a white birth certificate, grew up in a white community, went to white schools, did his military service in a white regiment, married a white wife, and had a child who was classified white. He applied for his ID papers and found that someone had decided arbitrarily that he was colored and had changed his classification based on a document found which alleged that his mother, 4 years before his birth, had been classified as colored. He has appealed to no avail. Already, his child has been reclassified colored. If his new classification as colored sticks, he will have to give up his job, move into a colored neighborhood with his child, but where his wife, being white, will not be able to live. If one parent is colored, the offspring are automatically colored. He would have to give up all of his privileges as a white. A reporter tried to interview Mr. X, but was told that he is terrified of having his identity known, and that his wife, who is expecting their second child, is afraid that her parents would force her to leave him. Mr. X, at this point, is suicidal.